Amen. What a tremendous blessing that was, and what a blessing it has already been just being in church today. And I trust that you have the very same feelings as well. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of James in chapter 1, book of James, chapter 1, we're going to be reading verse 21 down to verse 25. James chapter 1. If you will, stand with me if you're able to, and we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. James chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, it has been a tremendous blessing and encouragement to be in church this morning. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for providing the music that we have been ministered to by. And I pray now, God, as we open up your holy word and that we look to bring forth the meaning of these verses to be a help to the people that are assembled here today. We rely upon you to empower the preaching and rely upon you to give an ear to hear. I just pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we look here to this book of James in the Bible, James was the physical brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. James became a pillar in the early church movement. God uses him to write this book of the Bible, this letter, to all believers concerning their continued obedience to God's word. There was a lot of persecution. There was a lot that would hinder them. And so we find here that he wanted to encourage them in their continued obedience to God's word. The overall theme of the book of James, I believe, if you look with me, chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, I think this kind of describes it. It's the faith that saves leads to good works. The faith that saves, saving faith, leads to good works. James would say in chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." James was emphasizing the continued obedience to God's word in working and serving God. Now, in James chapter 1, in verse 21 down to verse 25, our text for this morning, I think it's important that we understand just the content of which this was given to us in this letter, in this book of James. But James presents a simple truth that will help all believers, no matter what they're facing. A simple truth that will help you in life, no matter what's going on in your life. The simple truth is to look to God's word and be a doer. Be a doer of the word of God. I'd like you to ask yourself, and as this whole week I've been preparing and seeking God's direction and what to be presented, what not to be presented, but I would ask you to ask yourself, am I a doer? Or possibly could I be a hearer only? He's addressing believers. He's a blessing, addressing those that know that there's a God, that believe in a creator God, that understands that God has a purpose for all things, understands a New Testament church. Am I a doer or a hearer only? You see, because some seem to think if they attend church, if they hear and possibly even listen to learn about God, that's enough. But yet, as we look here to the Word of God and we look here to the book of James in chapter 1 and verse 21 and verse 22, there's no doubt we find here that God's command is that that's all believers, all who know that there's a God and all that has put their faith and trust in God and believe that God has preserved His Word, the Bible, for us, it's God commands all believers to be doers of the Word. He says in verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Get rid of the sins of this life. Turn away from the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Turn away from all the filthiness that's in this world and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. As you receive it, then be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. God reveals that the word, the engrafted word, that word engrafted means to piece together into one. That means that God has preserved for us His word from the very beginning book of Genesis all the way to the end of the Bible in the book of Revelations. There are no new revelations. We have a complete, fulfilled, 100% word of God in this Bible right here. Amen. Jesus brought to us the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and He gave to us the New Testament commands. He's given to us this New Testament that we are to look to and follow after in this New Testament church age. It's all a part of God's word to humanity. It's the engrafted, that is pieced together into one, word of God. And God reveals that if we are content to just hear and not make an application, we deceive ourselves into thinking that I'm right with God because I've attended church. I'm right with God because I'm a member of a church. We deceive ourselves. Can I tell you that many have developed a routine of just hearing? They sit in churches all around the world out of routine. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, it becomes a routine. Yeah. Not all routines are bad. I think that if we go around, every one of us have routines that we have adopted as part of our lives. Everyone has daily routines. What you do when you get up in the morning, how you go to bed at night, some good, some bad. Eating a gallon of ice cream before you go to bed, that's not a good routine. Everyone has their routine of what they have to have before they go to bed. Some's popcorn, I understand that, and others is this and that. And it's just a routine, a daily routine that we wake up to, and make sure the coffee is good and hot and ready to go and whatever the routine might be. And then we have weekly routines as well as we go to work on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and get through the day, and then we have the weekend to look for, and we have just certain things that we have developed as a routine. And not all routines are bad, but if we get into a routine of just hearing the word and not looking to be a doer of the word, that is a bad place to be. We develop routines over time, established by repetition. The definition of routine is a sequence of actions regularly followed. Most everyone in here would have a Sunday routine. Maybe even have a Saturday night routine. My wife and I have had a Saturday night routine ever since I've been in the ministry, ever since we've been married for going on 40 years. It's just a routine. No, don't plan on anything else. Nothing else takes the place. We are focused on church services on Saturday night, and everything we do is preparing for that Sunday morning. And Sunday morning, we have a routine so that we don't get out of routine and don't take a chance on getting messed up and have something hinder us from what God has for us on Sunday. Sunday is the most important day of the week. God has established Sunday, the first day of the week, as a day that we are New Testament church age, is to assemble ourselves together and to worship Him in spirit and truth, and not to forsake that assembling of ourselves together. There's no doubt about it. God says, as far as routines, as far as the 7 days of the week, the most important day that you have, spiritually speaking, is the day that I have established as the Lord's day, and that was established as the first day of the week. And we have a routine. Most everyone that's here, you had a routine this morning and last night. It wasn't a question as far as coming to church. You're just following a routine. And there's people in church all around the world following a routine because of repetition. This is what we do. Because of repetition, it has become a routine. We routinely open up the Bible. We routinely stand when we read the scriptures. If you will, I've developed a routine of going through the announcements. My staff make fun of me every now and then. They make skits and they have me and they make fun of my routine of how I present things, all in jest, of course, or they'd be fired. But I love things done decently and in order. And if you're going to do things decently in order, you have to develop routines. Now, the people, you know what follows the special and the announcement and the offering. It's following routines. We routinely do this. And out of repetition, if anything's off, we know it. But we routinely listen. And if you never make an application, you'll get into a repetition of just attending church. And the message that you listen to will be forgotten before you ever drive out of the driveway, the parking lot. Is that really God's intent? Is that really what God would have us to assemble ourselves together for? Have we fallen into a repetition routine of possibly just being hearers and not doers? You see, If that's the case, we need to get it turned around because we're missing out on so much. We must develop a routine to hear with a mentality and a heart's desire to do. James is writing to this group of believers that are under tremendous persecution. And he says, you know, if you're going to continue to be obedient to God's word, and if you're going to accomplish all that God has you to accomplish, it's going to be a difficult time. And what's going to help you to make sure that you accomplish that and get through the difficult times of life is you cannot just be a hearer of the word, but you need to be a doer of the word. Hearing the word is not enough. Do not get into a routine of thinking as long as I attend church, as long as I hear the word, then that's all that I need to do. There's nothing else to do. I go out and live however I want to live all week long and just come back and routinely attend a church service thinking that is the will and the way of God. And that is not the will and that is not the way of an almighty God. James is helping us to see that. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves to think that that's enough. Yeah. I would trust that we are coming to church to learn, to be able to draw closer to our God, to be able to receive and walk out those doors better equipped for whatever I might have to face. God established the assembling of ourselves together so that we could get together and receive from God that which we need to better equip us to do the work that God's called us to do. And there is a work that needs to be done. And I'm telling you what, our United States of America needs the light of Christianity today than what it's ever needed before. Because the light of Christianity is slowly but surely going out. Lord, speak to me today. Lord, what would you have me to do with what I've just received? Amen. You have to develop a routine through repetition. Pray before you come. Pray while you're here. Open up your heart and your mind to every song that's sung. Can I tell you, there was tremendous messages presented in song today. Can you think of one? Was an entertainment. I develop every week. I start on Mondays, and I know where I'm going for the most part, but I develop four messages a week. I develop a message for Sunday school. I develop a message for Sunday morning. I develop a message for Sunday night. I develop a message for Wednesday night. In every service, there's a little bit different need in that service, and there is a mentality of those that are here. There's a mentality of those that are here Sunday morning Sunday school. There's a mentality of those that are here in Sunday morning worship and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Can I tell you, I've been doing this for 40 years, and I understand some of the mentality of what it takes in the congregation that come out to the services. And I'm asking God, make sure, give me the message for the people. Direct me to know what series to go into. And Wednesday night we're in the book of Ruth. And what a tremendous blessing it has been in learning the biblical principles of this Bible character, Ruth. And I'll tell you what, everyone coming out on Wednesday night, I guarantee you, they're coming out because it's a sacrifice. It's a midweek. And they're coming out because they want to not only hear, but they want to apply. And we're being helped on the series in Ruth. In Sunday school, we're going through the book of 1 Peter, and we're studying on God's help for us as we go through the trials of life. And God does not want us to go through the trials of life alone. We don't have to.
And we have a book of 1 Peter that was designated and designed by God to help those going through the trials and what will help you to get through the trials of life. And when you come out, not only to hear, but be applying it and taking it out with you and doing it, it's going to help you as you go through trials. On Sunday nights, we're understanding the entire books of the Bible and looking at the divisions of the Bible so that we might know if I have a need for something particular, I know what each book is there for, and I can go into this book and find this help, and I can go into this book and find this help, and I can go into this book and find that help. You see, God designed it that way. We need to know that. And if you're looking to be a doer, you'll want to have that knowledge. Lord, what would you have me to do with what I've received today? That's what James is trying to help them to see. It's not just enough to be a hearer. You're missing out on so much. But be ye doers of the word. Yeah. He gives us an illustration. Now, a biblical, most of the time when I use illustrations, I love using Bible illustrations because it's what God has given to us to illustrate the message. Amen? Look at the illustration, verse 23 and verse 24. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, okay, is this me? Am I a hearer and not a doer? He is likened to a man. This is who you are. By God's statements and God's illustration, this is who you are. He is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Or if you will, looking into a mirror. For he beholdeth himself. He beholdeth himself. And goeth his way. He's left the mirror. And straightway, when the mirror is not in his face, he's not looking at the mirror, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. When you look into a mirror, you see the truth. Listen to me. When you look into a mirror, it's 100% you. And most of the time, it's before you try to improve your looks. And you look at the mirror first thing in the morning. Can I tell you, mirrors have become a necessity of life. In America especially. Is there anybody here that has not looked in a mirror all this morning? Anybody? And you want to admit it. You look in a mirror to see how you need to comb your hair. You look in a mirror to see how you need to shave. You look in a mirror to see what kind of whatever the women do to see what they need to do, get done. But you look in a mirror because it is 100% you. 100%. And when you see you, you see something that others don't see when you're walking around. You see you and everything that you know about you. You can't get away from that. Yeah, so when you walk away, you can be deceived. And you can deceive yourself. You can listen to all the pleasant comments about how good you look, how young you look. And then you can say, well, they're right, as long as you don't look in the mirror. You can believe that. And you forget what you saw. You forget what you saw, which was 100% you.
When I look into the mirror, I see a 62-year-old man. I'm thinking, wow, how did I get here? A 62-year-old man. When I'm not looking in the mirror, a lot of times I forget. And I tell myself, I can do what I used to do when I was 35. As long as I'm looking in the mirror, that's me. I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, well, you're old than what you used to be. Age is a matter of perspective, right? I mean, I'm a young guy to 90-year-old. That's why I like being around older people, because they make me feel better about myself. But if I deceive myself and I think on my day off, I can go ahead and cut the grass and I can go play a round of golf, and then that night I can go play tennis for 2-3 hours. I can do that, and then it kills me. I come home and can barely walk. And my wife says, don't look for me for sympathy. You're not a young man anymore, you know. And I thought, because I wanted to do it, I thought, you know, I used to do it all the time. I could even do more than that. But I'm 62 now. Even when I do deceive myself and think I can do it, I suffer because of it. The next morning, I can barely get out of bed. Yeah. Because I thought I could still do what I used to do. When I got away from the mirror, I convinced myself. Verse 25, he says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. That illustration is for us to continue as we need to into the mirror to make sure that we are seeing ourselves for who we are and we're not deceived and we realize these truths, because it's 100% you. When you look into the Bible, it's 100% God's word. It's the perfect law of liberty. Not only is it the engrafted word, it is the perfect. That means it's without error. It's 100% accurate. It's the law. It's not a suggestion of how we are to live our lives. It's not a suggestion that you can take or let go. It is the law. It is what thus saith the Lord God, the creator of all things. It is the perfect, and it is the law, and it is that which liberates. It doesn't enslave. When you're living by the word of God, it's not that you're enslaved. It is a liberation. It's the perfect law of liberty. The Bible's without error. It's God's word. It sets us free from bondage. Psalms chapter 19, and I'm almost done here, but follow with me. This is powerful if we'll get a hold of it. Psalms chapter 19. The psalmist writes, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It saves you, it gives you wisdom, it makes you wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. When you're living according to the word of God, you can have joy in your life. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Helps you to see things just as they are. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by the words of God, by them is thy servant warned.
And in keeping of them, there is great reward.
And see, and not just hearing, but being a doer of the word. In closing here, the third thing is found in verse 25. Yeah. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, you're not forgetting it, but you're going to establish a routine of putting it into practice. Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God's promise to the doers of the word. This is not just the preacher saying this. This is this perfect law of liberty, the engrafted word of God, and God Almighty has preserved this, and he reveals it to us that if you are a doer of the work, this man, whoever it might be, God says, shall be blessed in that deed. That's God. Don't just accept my word for it. Look to God's promise. God's blessing upon obedience. God's blessing upon each and every one who have determined not to just come and hear, but to come and hear with a desire to be a doer, to put it into practice, to allow it to change my life, to allow it to change my thinking so that I might receive the blessing. In closing, in Luke in chapter 6, Luke in chapter 6, this is what Jesus said. Can I tell you the first step to solving problems and dealing with trials? The first step is to be a doer of the word. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord? Is that going to benefit you? And do not the things which I say? That's not going to benefit you. If you just, because you believe in God, routinely come to church. Now, I believe you need to come to church in order to hear, but coming to church is not the main thing. The main thing is I come to receive and to give worship. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, established your life, and dig deep. I mean, you wanted to make sure that you were grounded in your life, founded. He dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, and it will, and the streams beat vehemently upon the house, and they will, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. The blessings of God are not automatic. Salvation, the gift of everlasting life, is a gift. You don't have to do anything for that. But when you receive that, according to James, I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen. Saving faith leads to being a doer of the word. Amen. Are you here only? If you are, it's because you have repeatedly fallen into a routine and that's all that you get out of church. And you leave as you were when you came in, because before you walk out the doors and drive out of the parking lot, you've already forgot what God had for you. Let's not only hear, but let's be focused on applying and being a doer of the word. If I could have every head bowed. Wow. Can I tell you, that's why we have invitations. That really is. I don't believe that you necessarily need to come forward every time you make a decision or make an application, but it won't hurt. It never hurts. Coming forward helps you to know the seriousness of the commitment. It will help remind you of what you received and how you want to apply it to your life. Praise God for an invitation. It's a beginning of making an application to what you've just heard. Father, we bow before you now. We love you and thank you for your love for us. We thank you for this holy Bible, especially as we have looked into this book of James in chapter 1 and received what James had written to those early believers and what they needed to receive. We need the same thing today. Help us to not be hearers only, but help each and every one of us to be doers of the word. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.